True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Really nice to change the schedule around for us and come on here on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. And Mike, it's not just about football tomorrow. It's obviously about eating a lot of food as well. What's on the Florio must-have on Thanksgiving? Give me a couple of items that the Florio family always has.
Well, look, I mean, it begins and ends with the turkey. And I was having the conversation with someone recently. Why don't we roast a turkey more often than two times a year, Christmas and Thanksgiving? Like, it's really not difficult. When I was growing up, it was this mystical project that required multiple hours and getting up early and constantly opening the oven and basting this and poking a thermometer in there. My wife and I assumed the duties within the past few years of getting the family bird ready, and I've been stunned at how easy it is. Now, the prep can be a pain in the butt, but I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken when I was in high school, so I'm well-versed in the handling of raw poultry. But once you've cleared all the cavities and removed all of the gross things that come with a turkey and free up all the plastic things that hold it together, it's really not that difficult. So I love a good turkey. And the goal is to find that sweet spot where you've eaten enough, but not so much that inevitably during the first quarter of the late afternoon game, settled into the couch, feeling pretty good, let's watch this game, and then it's halftime because I fell asleep. Like every year I think, hey, man, I feel pretty good. Let's watch this game. And the next thing I know, they got the Salvation Army kettle out and the halftime performance. It's like, what's the score of the game?
Yeah.
So, and I hate that feeling. I hate struggling. There's no feeling worse than struggling to stay awake. So that's my goal tomorrow. I don't know if I have to have some Red Bull or just extra coffee or something to stay awake, because tomorrow is not the day to fall asleep for either of the two games that are on in the afternoon. You want to be wide awake for both of them. They are oozing with playoff implications. And you could argue that the losers of these two games are either done or in a position where they have to win out to get into the postseason.
Well, the advice for me is that second trip through the with your plate, the second helpings is a scary one, because you might overload the plate there, and that gets you in trouble.
That gets
the rest
you drowsy.
Of the
day. That's the start of getting drowsy. Yeah. That second big plate. Yes.
But let's get
here's
the
what I do. I don't even do the first big plate. I deliberately get small plate. Don't fill
ahead.
It up because I know I'm going back the second time. Like I budget for the second plate when I do the first plate. And then there's always that third trip for that just a little bit more of whatever it is that I really want that day. But whatever. There's that point, and we know when we passed it. Like, the moment the belt becomes unfastened, that's when the clock starts ticking toward the inevitable coma.
Yeah, no question. Are you guys, now you got me going, desserts, because I'm trying to get to know Mike Florio after all these years. Is it about cakes, pies, cookies? What's a dessert?
My wife makes an excellent pumpkin cake with cream cheese icing, and she makes it twice a year because, again, apparently by law, we're prohibited from having these things the rest of the year. Right. So that's a go-to, and that lasts for a few days. Like, that becomes the Thursday, Friday until I leave on Saturday, and, you know, maybe I'll cut a piece and put it in a bag and take it with me like a kid going to school with his lunch. But, yeah, that pumpkin cake is awesome. And pumpkin pie, too, that's another one. They had an array of pies at the NBC viewing room on Sunday night. And, like, I forget that pumpkin pie even exists. Like, I'm looking, do I want cherry? Do I want apple? Oh, hell, they got pumpkin. Yeah, pumpkin pie. Give me some pumpkin pie. But, like, and maybe I wouldn't enjoy it as much if it was around all the time.
Yeah.
But, man, it's good. You forget how good it is until you have, like, I can almost remember every single year the first good slice of pumpkin pie that I had as we got into the November, December months.
Boy, we're shaking our head. Dave and I are looking at you right now going pumpkin pie. Mike Florio, maybe he's a little closer in age to us than we thought.
Yeah,
right,
you're
there.
A traditionalist. You're a Thanksgiving traditionalist like us.
Hey, there's no question. Hey, you guys got into a conversation yesterday that was so good. I want to ask you, so the Ja'Marr Chase spinning thing, we've had a couple guys do that. Now we have a package hit with what took place with Jennings and Morig and everything else. And you guys got into that and how it was going to be handled. And sooner, you know, later on that night, we find out the package hitting for Morig got him suspended for a game. And by the way, I was with you guys on that 100% that it was going to happen. It's just we're not used to seeing it. And it is right behind spitting. It's hitting another man's package during a football game. And it does happen, yes.
Well, and you could argue that it's even worse. Like, I'd rather have someone spit on my jersey then punch me there, because it doesn't hurt to get spit on. And as Eddie Murphy said years ago, you don't have to hit that area. You only have to graze it.
That's
to
true.
Inflict significant pain on someone. He reared back. He was like he was at the county fair and they got that game where you got to hit the bag.
Yeah.
Like, he put everything he had in that, and he hit him square. But where it becomes challenging, because the league has taken a very stern stance this year when it comes to sportsmanship. We've seen multiple suspensions. Brian Branch for hitting Juju Smith-Schuster after a game week 5. Dre Greenlaw, the Broncos linebacker, for verbally accosting a referee after that Giants-Broncos crazy game week 7. We saw the spitting suspension. So what happened on Monday night, it's like, how are they really going to work this out? Because what Juwan Jennings did after the game was a lot like what Brian Branch did, and it was several minutes after. It wasn't Jalen Ramsey immediately reacting, and he didn't get suspended for what he did in reacting to Ja'Marr Chase. I think he didn't even get fined for it. It's hard to parse it out because there were multiple incidents that happened in a very tight time frame. But I think they got it right here. I think they are allowing for a certain amount of natural retaliation when you've had a major indignity visited upon you. And also, you know, when Brian Branch hit Juju Smith-Schuster, he's sticking his hand out. Smith-Schuster had no idea it's coming.
Right.
Jennings knew that this was coming when the game ended. So you could just tell by the body language that wasn't on all fours comparable to Brian Branch. But that's the challenge, the precedent that's set and the message that is sent to the players. And if I'm a coach, I'm showing all these moments and I'm saying, they're making it clear, guys, they're not just going to take money out of your next check. They are going to keep you from playing, and they're going to take an entire game check from you if we don't stop doing this. And hopefully at some point the players will figure it out. We were talking about it again today. Chris Sims thinks it's more of an off-season thing where the players are going to get the message and the teams are going to send it properly. But regardless, the league is making it clear about where that line is. And if you cross it, they're going to sit you down. And they got cameras everywhere. Even if they don't catch it during the broadcast,
oh, yeah,
there are cameras all over the place, and they're going to find it, and they're going to get you.
All right, Mike, games tomorrow. The one fascinates me is the middle one. Maybe it's because we're an AFC city, and We've been hostage to Kansas City.
Kansas City's owned us too.
Are they back? Is Kansas City, do you trust them back or do you trust Dallas? I don't know which team to trust more in this game.
Well, you know, the Chiefs have proven to us over the years that when they're in that single elimination mode, they're virtually unbeatable. 17-3 in the postseason since Patrick Mahomes became the starter. And Sunday's game against the Colts was kind of the first de facto postseason game for the Chiefs. They lose that one. They fall to 5-6. They got a big problem. So now they're 6-5. 6-6 isn't going to be very good for them. They're going to have the greater urgency and they're going to feel less pressure. And they've discovered something. And I don't think it was just a game plan specific thing from Andy Reid. I think he's had an epiphany that with this specific team, he's got to run the ball. They had 41 rushing attempts on Sunday against the Colts. And, you know, it used to be that the opposing defenses would try to have long drives to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline as long as possible. Now I think what the Chiefs are realizing is we need to have long drives to keep our defense on the sideline, to limit the number of opportunities the opposing offense has. We need to control the ball. We need to work the clock. They had the ball for over 42 minutes. Now they played 68, but they still had the ball for over 42 minutes against the Colts. That is the way the Chiefs are going to find a way to win these games down the stretch. So, you know, the Cowboys like to light it up, and they've got George Pickens, who's having a spectacular year. The defense is getting a little bit better. This is a huge game. And when the schedule came out, I said, this is going to be the most watched regular season game of all time. When you throw in this element that whoever loses this game is screwed, and it's not like the winner has a clear path to the postseason, but whoever loses this game is screwed, it really raises the stakes. And, you know, 42-1 is the record for the most watched regular season game from Thanksgiving 3 years ago, Giants-Cowboys. I've seen some speculation this one could hit 50, and it won't surprise me if it does.
Wow. Wow, it's incredible. Hey, Mike, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about Madrid. This was my take on the Madrid trip. So there are a lot of fans there, obviously, and they sell out quickly and stuff. I don't know how crazy Madrid is, especially with Real Madrid, one of the top soccer teams in the world. They love their soccer. And Americans were all over it. Don't get me wrong. Some are watching, but I could tell outside of the kicking stuff, they just, is that an issue for the cities that I know the Dolphins like that market. They like Spain a lot, but if they're not into it, can you still sell it by just having Americans or people that love it from other countries come and watch it and come to that city?
Well, you know, this is an interesting conundrum for the NFL because as the whole thing was unfolding on that Sunday when the Commanders and the Dolphins played in Madrid, the way they were hyping it on NFL Network, I think there's a real disconnect between how much the NFL cares about these international games and how much the average American fan cares about the games. The NFL is clearly in a long-term, 50-year, 100-year effort to globalize the sport. And there was a time in the 70s when we were kids, like, you know, baseball's the number one sport in America and football's never going to catch it. And football eventually did. And I don't know that football's ever going to catch soccer as a global sport. But even if it, like, passes cricket and falls between cricket and soccer, that's a win. They're taking the inventory of games they have, and they globalize it, they take it around the world, and if they can get people around the world to feel the way we feel about it, billion-dollar business becomes trillion-dollar business. That's all this is part of. Let's get into as many markets as possible. Let's play as many international games as possible. And there was an item last week in the Wall Street Journal. The NFL is closely monitoring developments in the return of supersonic travel because you cut down the travel time. That's one less factor that complicates putting teams in Europe. And I think one of these days, and it may be years from now, but one of these days we could be looking at a four-team division, two teams in London and two teams elsewhere in Europe. That's the way this thing could ultimately go for the NFL.
Boy, that is wild. Hey, I got to ask you about a team that's not going to be going to the playoffs, Shedeur Sanders. What'd you think? Why do I still feel like the organization's not completely behind him, like he's the last guy standing? Do you feel that way a little bit with watching Shedeur Sanders and support he gets from the organization and the head coach or not?
Well, I was stunned after that game when he came in for Dillon Gabriel. that he had had no first team reps at any point in practice at all. And this is what happens when you draft two rookie quarterbacks. You get a guy in the third round, you get a guy in the fifth round. What is your priority? Is this analytics-driven accumulation of assets, or is it building a team? So, yeah, Shedeur Sanders isn't going to be as prepared as he could be when he gets his first chance to play. But when he got his first start, I know it was against the Raiders, but the threshold test when it comes to quarterbacks, do they look the part? Do they pass the eyeball test? And Shedeur did against the Raiders. So I do think that they ideally wanted to keep him on ice as long as they could. For what end, I don't know, because I think it's imperative for the Browns to see what they have in all their quarterbacks, because they're going to be in a position to draft one next year. They've got their first-round pick, and they've got the Jaguars because of the Travis Hunter trade. But look, the Browns are the team, and it's funny because they had Paul DePodesta, who came over from baseball to be their chief strategy officer, and I think they're the only team that has that title of chief strategy officer. Like, every strategy they have is a bad strategy. You know? Like, it's almost like they're trying to come up with bad decisions. But yeah, now they have something with Shedeur Sanders. Let him start the rest of the year and accumulate the data points that you're going to need to make a decision, because why burn one of your first round picks next year on a quarterback when you could get a player who's going to help you in another position? You're going to need another Myles Garrett at some point. So they need to end this nonstop revolving door. Shedeur Sanders was starting quarterback number 42 since the Browns returned to the NFL in 1999. That needs to stop. But there is this strange sort of ambivalence between the organization and Shedeur Sanders, to the point where it's like, why did you take him? And is it as simple as you looked at your board and the gap between him and the next best available guy was too big to ignore? So we don't care that he's a quarterback. We don't care that he may not fit with what we're trying to do. We're just taking him because he's there. And that would be the ultimate Browns way to get a guy. They just kind of stumble blindly into a situation where they have a guy who could end up being their long-term quarterback.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Mike, have a great Thanksgiving, man. Really appreciate you coming on and spending time with us. I know we've been together a long, long time, and I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Everybody.
And I know what this means right here. It's always great having with us, Dave. Guy you've been working with for a long, long time, Chris Perkins, covering the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. Perk, good morning, brother. How you doing? And thanks for being with us.
Oh, man, y'all are a welcome distraction. I'm trying to find any excuse not to go downstairs and grab a workout for the first time in 4 weeks. So
is it getting to that point, Perk, where you, like, I do that sometimes. I was going to go home and not playing tennis. I go, I hate walking. Do you like walking, Perk? You ever just take off and people, just walk, you know, a couple of miles a day? I hate walking, man.
I walk, I can go 2.2 miles to the east and be at the ocean. So the walk isn't that
bad.
I live, you know, North Bay Village, not too far from the beach. So the walk isn't that bad if I can get off my butt and actually do it, Joe.
All right.
A workout though, Perk, 4 weeks. That, now, if I did that, I'd feel awful. That's, I got to work out a couple times a week.
You do, Dave?
A few times a week, yeah.
That's where I'm at. I've put on 9 pounds in the last month.
That's all right.
My clothes don't fit the same. Yeah.
Hey, don't. Well, you want to keep looking good if you know you're in the game. I know what you're saying there, Perk. Don't worry about that. Hey, Perk, I want you to help us out on some of these topics. I want to ask you, first of all, you think this 53-man roster they have with a couple of guys on the yard, you think it's a very talented roster overall, even with the young guys we have?
You know what, Joe? I thought this was a 9-win team coming out of training camp. Maybe it's like a 7-win team. The talent isn't bad. It's just not good. I would give it maybe a letter grade of a C. You know, at the start of this Greer-McDaniel tandem, they did have the best talent that they had gathered in like two decades. It's not at that stage anymore. You're almost at the pre-rebuild stage right now.
The preset. Another reset. So if we're on the edge of a rebuild, what's going to happen this offseason? That's what everybody – that Joe and I were just talking about that. Who's staying? Who's going? Where are you at with the top-end people?
Champ.
You know what? I'm at get out the broom and finish what you started with Chris Greer. And that's because when it comes to, like, Mike McDaniel and Tua, okay, you can bring them back for 2026, but are they in your plans for 2027? Probably not. Probably not. And so why delay it for another year? Just get out the broom and start the rebuild. I'm all for re-signing Achan. He's due for a contract extension. Don't let Achan be like Wilkins and Hunt, where you let him get to the final year because you don't think he's worth it. And then in the final year, you decide he's worth it. And he looks at you and says, I gambled on myself. I'm leaving. I'm going to get paid. And you're stuck with nothing. So, that's where I'm at with the team. Let's just start the rebuild after this season.
Hey, HN, if he doesn't get a new contract, I don't think he's going to sit out. And if he's not sitting out because on the outside, he's going to sit out on the inside, whatever the hell they call that, where you watch practice every day and he just does a little conditioning. Do you agree? There's no way he's playing. He doesn't want to play with this. Yeah, hold it.
Yeah. I mean, he would be pissed, and rightfully so, right? I mean, look at what this guy has done ever since he's been in the league, you know, third round pick, and he's delivered for you. And now he's the offense with Tyreek Hill and Darren Waller sideline. This guy is the offense, and that's with all due respect to Jaylen Waddle. Achan is what makes this offense go. So you need to lock him up. And now look, if you're planning a rebuild, maybe you don't want to devote that kind of money to him. I think Dave Hyde on the Dolphins deep dive with Perk promotion at noon today, he said this last week that, maybe James Cook from Buffalo is a model for the Achan extension. I would agree, but I guess if you're going to go full rebuild, I could understand not re-signing Achan, but you got to give whoever's going to be here next year a chance, right? Give them Achan and Waddle and at least give them a chance. But man, I guess Achan will be here anyway, but not a pissed off Devon Achan. Give him a happy Devon Achan.
We were talking about guys they've drafted, and I don't think it's been good enough overall. We got good players. We got a hit. We got a hit on, like, Achan is a third round pick. That's hitting big. Hey, he's the best player on the team. But Chop Robinson, what has happened to Chop Robinson?
Boy, I don't know. I don't know, Joe. You know, maybe that 6 or 8 game stretch last year was the aberration, and the rest of it is what he really is. I don't know yet. But I'll say this. You're right about hitting on draft picks, Joe. And moving forward, I'm not a fan of forcing the quarterback pick in the first round. If he's there, okay, you can take him. You're probably going to be putting him behind a patchwork offensive line without much help on either side of the ball. But if he's there, I guess take him. But me, continue building the trenches. Again, you started 2 years ago with Chop and Patrick Paul, and then this year you had Kenneth Grant and Jonas Abaiyanaya. Keep going in that direction. That's what most of the fans were complaining about for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. The trenches aren't good enough. Keep going in that direction. That's what I want to see from the draft and a lot of the rebuild.
What do these final games mean? Do you perk? I mean, playoffs, I'm not even going to talk about the playoffs because I think it's a fantasy right now. But what are you looking to happen to, I guess, to decide things for Steve Ross?
I'm looking for Mike McDaniel's team to do something it hasn't shown me before. And so to me, that's winning in December and January, that's beating playoff caliber teams, that's winning late season road games. Those three things, those are the things that really separate your good teams from your so-so teams. Those are the things that catapult you into the playoffs, that secure that home field advantage in the playoffs. So that's what I'm looking for from a Mike McDaniel team, is to show me something it has not shown me previously. We've seen them beat teams like New Orleans and the Jets. You beat Pittsburgh on Monday night. Okay, that's significant. That's a road game in prime time in December. You beat Tampa Bay, whether or not Baker Mayfield is there. That's significant. You beat New England in the season finale, whether or not they're resting players. That's significant. Do some of those things, and then we can, you know, start or continue the conversation about Mike being back. But if you do the status quo and you lose to Pittsburgh and you lose to Tampa and you lose to New England, quote, you've been stuck in the mud for the fourth straight year. I don't need to see anymore. So that's what I'm looking for in these final 6 games.
I want to try to win every game, and I want to see, you know, guys get more out of all the players on the team, see improvement. And the other thing is, I don't care where we draft. It does, like,
right.
We're probably not going to get the top 2 quarterbacks. If you, right now, it could be Mendoza, and it could be Moore from Oregon, could be the top 2 guys. And if there's a big drop off, I'm with you. Don't take a quarterback. Don't just take a guy to take him. Go out and get something else. And you just can't be desperate and start reaching to try to get something better for Tua. You agree
right.
with that, right?
Yeah, 100%, Joe. And the other thing is, look, this season is showing us that it's not just that first-round quarterback that you can thrive with, right? We're seeing Baker Mayfield do stuff. We're seeing those first-round retreads come back around. So perhaps that's an option until you find your franchise rookie, you know, the guy that you want to start off with as a top-5 pick or a first-round pick or whatever. There's different ways to find quarterbacks. And if you're not ready to make a move anyway, I'm just not a big fan of getting that top-5 pick and putting him behind a weak offensive line, and he doesn't have a good offense and the defense doesn't help him out. He's pretty much out there on an island without a chance. The more I go, the more I'm for have things in place and then do the plug and play with the quarterback. You know, have your offensive line, your running back, your receivers, your playmaking defense, then you draft your quarterback and you give him the best chance to succeed that you can.
Well, the added dilemma they're in is, if this is a 1-year tryout, do you want to bring in a quarterback and possibly hand him off to the next regime, a quarterback who they might not like? So there's a whole bizarre maze to walk through the way they're going about things right now.
You guys agree with this too. Everybody keeps telling me all these top GMs would turn down this job. I'm like, what do you mean? They all want a job. Like, they're going to listen for sure. All of them. I don't believe this is like a bad job and nobody wants to be part of it. Do you buy that? As long as you can get control and they have patience and understand this thing's a mess.
But do you mean a bad job if you inherit Mike and Tua and
I think all of them, I just think no matter what they say for a year, it's not a bad job with your big plan of what you need to do. And you got total control coming in as GM. I don't think it's a bad job.
I think if you have total control, meaning now to me, you guys know that I don't like the speed finesse thing that Mike McDaniel had with the offense. I favor more physicality, more muscle, a stronger run game. If I can come in as the GM and I can convince Mike that, yes, you need to be more physical, you need to kind of get away from this speed thing, not totally, but kind of get away from it and let's try something different. Okay, it's a great job, but if Steve Ross says, no, we're letting Mike do whatever he wants to do for this final year or whatever, then it's not a great job. The GM has to have that kind of control.
That is true.
But I were to say most GMs have drawn up who they want their coach to be, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you're a GM and you're going to marry – your career's on the line, you're going to go with someone who you want. And look, Mike's reputation is one of the great innovators. Look, teams are doing what he does from the
motion, all the things he does. So, he draws up some stuff, but make no mistake about it. If you're a new GM coming in, you're dealing with a little different guy. I mean,
he's got a completely different
style of talking and walking and dressing and everything else.
When you say it's a great job, it's not a great job for everybody because if you inherit Mike, because he's not everybody's cup of tea. I mean, he's the unfootball coach at times. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, Perk, we didn't really get anything accomplished, but we just wanted to hear.
You
from
didn't
you
ask about his life either.
No, I'm not going to get. How are all right? Because how are you doing with the ladies? How's everything right now? I know you've been busy. I know you've been busy with football.
I just had a friend come in from Madrid, strangely enough, and stayed with me for a few nights. So that was good. And she wants me to come out there to Madrid and see. It's a former neighbor of mine. She's from South Africa. She's lived all around the world. She used to live in Costa Rica. So she's been in Madrid for the last 8 months. So that was cool. But, still looking, man. I'm about to start swiping, Joe. I'll tell you the truth, man. I am really.
Are you really
going
to break down and swipe? What about old school? Going to the bar and going, hey, you look good. Can I buy you a drink? What are you doing?
I'm trying that, man.
Swiping. It's swiping.
Yeah, I'm doing that, but it's running low, man. It's running low. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to start swiping, man. I'm going to have to finally come into the 21st century.
I think you better get to the gym,
Perk. Hey, Perk, I can't wait to see you. I really want to see if you're a fat ass or not. Now I can't believe it, Perk. That's terrible.
Hey, it is, hey, man. Perk, I got to do some crunches and stuff.
Hey, Perk, I do. What about the ex-girlfriend, did she go through and marry this guy, or was she just playing games with you?
No. She's actually married, man. So that is no longer an option. Yeah. She's married. So, as a matter of fact, I was just in San Antonio last week, and my family was telling me. They followed their friends with her on Facebook still. So they were telling me, I'm never on social media. So they were telling me, she's married. She is no longer an option. So I'm at the starting line. I'm at the starting line, man. At the starting line.
Perk, I didn't see you. Were you in Madrid, right? Were you over there?
No.
Oh, you didn't go. Because Omar had a little lady with him over there. I didn't get to see her. I was looking forward to seeing how Omar was doing over there.
Oh, he kept her a secret, huh?
I wonder what
that means.
He said he's taking it slowly. That's all he said. I'm taking it slowly.
Yeah. That's a change. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Maybe it'll help.
You know that. Yeah. Hey. Anyway, hey, Perk, thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on with us, bud. Take care.
All right, Julie,
last six games, 8-9. I'll see you, man. Take care.
All right.
Thanks. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel joins. They got a good chance to win 8 games.
That's what I predicted 8 games. That's what I'm rooting for, 8 games, because then I'm right in my prediction. They should win. I mean,
so they're going to go. They're going to beat the Saints and the Jets.
6-7 at that point.
And then they got 4 left, and they're going to get 2 of them.
And if they get Mason Rudolph instead of, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, that helps, right?
They got a good chance. By the way, Joe Shad, Woody was ripping Joe Shad. He said they're going to win 7 games, and everybody was getting on Joe Shad. He's, calling him company man and stuff, and they might even do better than that. We'll see. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's take it slow. We got 9 o'clock hour coming up.
Hi.
All right. Not our usual Jimmy Buffett in the morning all day, Dan Day. But, hey, that's okay because we haven't talked to him for a while, Dave. From the Keys, Hall of Fame coach Jimmy Johnson joins us. Jimmy, good morning, brother. How you doing?
Joe, how are you and Dave doing? I tell you what, it couldn't be any better.
Hey, you know, Dave and I were talking about you earlier today, and I said, I wonder how he's doing 82 years and the first time he's not working. Have you had any itch in the Keys going, I want to get back in it a little bit? Anything at all like that?
Absolutely not. I told Rhonda the other day, I've been working for I went to work when I was 9 years old and had jobs, you know, even while I was going to school and everything else. And I said, this is the greatest life in the world.
What's your Sundays look like, Jimmy? What do you watch football still?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It is so nice. Just like this, every weekend I get me about 9 or 10 hours of college football and then 9 or 10 hours of pro football. I got 3 TV set up in my den. The only time I sneak out of there is to get some food. For instance, this last weekend, I went fishing Saturday morning, caught 3 nice fish. I got back at 11:15 in time to get and watch the Miami and the Virginia Tech game. It's really been fun. I miss my guys. I love doing the Fox NFL Sunday, but I hated the travel. And it has worked out extremely well. I'm really happy with everything.
Jimmy, you didn't get shortchanged, just for the record, okay? This run, this has been one hell of a long run and a damn good one. So I think it all worked out. Hey, so Jimmy, I got to ask you, speaking of college football, we got our Canes fans down here a little fired up that Notre Dame always gets the benefit of the doubt and Miami beat them head-to-head, and that's the only thing that matters. And by the way, the Canes still got a tough game on the road, as you know, going up to Pittsburgh to play Pitt this week in their final game. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are, being such a big part of that Notre Dame University of Miami rivalry.
You know, Joe, of course, watching all these games, I mean, and being the former coach, I get frustrated on a lot of these games, you know, saying, well, I would have done this or I would have done that, you know, but I don't worry too much about, you know, what I can't control. And, you know, the only thing right now is the focus is we got to beat Pittsburgh. You know, we got to go up there and beat a good football team and not worry about how they're going to vote, if it's going to make the playoffs or we're going to make for the conference championship. And, you know, hey, obviously head-to-head means something, but, you know, the committee, I'm sure they look at the eye test and how you've played lately extremely, you know, I think that's the big thing right now. But they got to beat Pittsburgh. That's the big thing.
Right.
I was watching the game Saturday, Jimmy, and you know, Miami had to throw the late pass because style points matter. But I looked at that Notre Dame score, 70-7, and the first thing I thought of was – Jimmy's game against Notre Dame where he got called out on national TV. It was only 58-7, wasn't it, Jimmy? I mean, you could have gone up another couple touchdowns.
The only thing is, I think Syracuse did it to themselves in that particular game, you know, throwing interceptions, right, and blocked kicks and on, you know, a lot of it was Syracuse's problems. And just like when we beat Notre Dame the way we did, hey, you know, we only coach one team, you know, and we couldn't coach Notre Dame that day. Well, Notre Dame against Syracuse, they couldn't coach Syracuse. Syracuse is the one that screwed up.
Right. You know, it's funny. You remember, I remember when you used to let some teams go, I mean, really get after and put up some big numbers. And now we're seeing this in college football where teams are like, hey, man, we got to get some extra points here. We want everybody to know. And it's like, it's accepted. Where you used to be, you know, they call you out, you don't understand, you're not a sportsman of the game and all those type of things. It's incredible how things have changed over the years, Jimmy, when it comes to running up scores.
Yeah, Joe, I think a lot of that has to do with the transfer portal and the way, you know, players are moving around and with the NIL, because, you know, you get used to when you get up on a team, you know, by a large score, you just kind of sit on the football and you just kind of, you know, you ran the football and ran the clock out. But nowadays, you know, coaches have to keep all their players happy so they won't transfer. And so they put the backups in there and they keep running their offense. They go out and try to score as much as they can because they want to keep their players happy. You know, and so a lot of it has to do with the rules nowadays. And you're not necessarily running up the score. You're just playing all your players and you're letting them develop. And, you know, that way, if you have a player leave, you know, this backup's going to be ready to play the next year. So the transfer portal, I think, has a lot to do with that.
All right, let's go to the NFL now, because I'm curious. It's kind of wide open this year. Who are you looking at? Is there any team that's grabbed you as you sit down in the keys watching all these games?
The Los Angeles Rams, they are playing so good. You know, I think, first of all, Sean McVay is a great football coach. You know, really smart. I know him well. You know, we're good friends. He's got some great players. Matthew Stafford, he was on our show a few times, really playing out of his mind at an old age. And then Chris Shula has done a great job, you know, with that defense. You know, Dave's son, you know, I remember him well, you know, back when he coached for me with the Cowboys. And they've done a great job. They got some great players. It's a great organization, and they're playing extremely well.
You know, Jimmy, it's funny because I was saying that the other day, that is the team you look at and go after they went all in to win that Super Bowl, and they did win it. And then they said, hey, because of the amount of money we spent, we're going to have to let some guys go, and we're going to have to build it through the draft. Boy, they built it through the draft pretty quickly. They hit big on some drafts, didn't they?
They got some great players. They got the defensive end, you know, from Florida State. Yeah. Of course, the whole key, Joe, you know, in the NFL, if you're going to be a championship team, you have to have the right quarterback. That's the whole key. I mean, you've got to have a quarterback that not only is talented, that's an accurate passer, he makes great, great decisions. And then you develop your team around that quarterback. If you don't have the quarterback, you got no shot. But the teams that are winning are the teams that got great quarterbacks.
Jimmy, this thing in the AFC, I agree with you. The Rams look like they're out of this world. And most of that division is strong to start with. But anybody in the AFC, I know right now the Patriots have the most wins. They could get home field throughout because that schedule looks pretty positive.
That schedule is easy for them. Yeah. You look at who they're playing the last part of the year, and with the record, but they got 10 wins now. So they're going to have home field advantage, and that's going to give them an advantage playing there in Foxborough. Drake May has actually played so much better than what I thought he was going to play. I watched him in North Carolina, and I thought he was a talented player, but I didn't see him being special. But he is special. And then Mike Vrabel is an outstanding football coach. I mean, you know, he's physical. He's got some toughness about him. And you know, they've done a great job of kind of redoing that team after, you know, having two or three down years. So they're going to have an advantage on everybody. But in the AFC, other than, you know, maybe Indianapolis, because they picked up some good players there here a couple of weeks ago, and they've got Daniel Jones is playing well. They're a well-coached team. I talked to Norv Turner the other day. You know, Steichen actually was one of his assistants, and so he's running Norv Turner's offense, the same type of offense that we ran, you know, of course, when we were at Dallas. And, you know, the Colts are a good football team, but it looks like New England's got the advantage on everybody right now.
All right. Let's talk about this Netflix documentary. I haven't talked to you about this. I'm curious. the Jerry Jones production.
America's Team.
You know,
exactly right.
America's Team.
Prism. America's owner. America's owner. Go ahead.
As seen through the prism of Jerry Jones.
Well, you know, Jerry told me when we were at North Carolina, we announced I was going in the Ring of Honor. You know, he made some off-color joke, and the cameras were rolling. I said, Jerry, yeah, but you got the cameras here. He said, hey, I got final edit on this documentary. So he said, don't you worry about anything. Well, after watching the documentary, he had final edit.
All of a sudden, the Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah.
It's up.
By the way, you had nothing to do with that trade. You know that. Come on.
And, And don't you know that pissed me off? Because I spent an hour and a half explaining the trade to on that on film, on tape, to all the producers and everything. I spent an hour and a half explaining the trade. And then I told them about my contract, where in my contract I had total control of all football operations, football players, coaches, et cetera. And so about a week later, they said, could you send us a copy of that contract? And so I sent them a copy of the contract. Don't you know they spent 2 minutes on the Herschel Walker trade and did not mention the contract?
It's incredible for that guy. And by the way, he is a marketing genius. I do want to give him credit, Jimmy. Nobody markets as an owner in the world like Jerry does. I mean, you know, everything starts with him to this day.
Well, yeah, he told me, he said, you know what, I keep us in headlines. He said, and his wife, Jean, was sitting right next to him when he said it. He said, I keep us in headlines. Now, sometimes Jean doesn't like the stuff that they got headlines for, but he said, I keep us in headlines.
I guess that's why they since you left, since your players left, the ones you brought in, they haven't won anything. And it doesn't matter. Right. They still get ratings. I don't understand it. Still get ratings, you know, through the roof.
Oh, yeah. Well, he keeps them in headlines. And they actually have a pretty good football team right now. He made a couple of nice trades, picking up Quinn Williams and then, you know, of course, the receiver from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, by the way. Wow, did he? Boy, they made some great deals.
Is he a good player? Man, but they're playing pretty good right now. But, I think they're so far in the hole. You know, they're not going to be able to do it this year. If they can keep Pickens, you know, next year, they'll have a pretty good football team next year.
And by the way, on Thanksgiving, Kansas City at Dallas, my God, there are going to be a lot of eyeballs besides just ours, guys, watching that game. That should be one hell of a game with Mahomes and that team desperate. You count now Kansas City. Are you still feel pretty good about them getting in?
Nah, I think they're right on the borderline. You know, I mean, they have come back to the pack. Anytime you got Mahomes, you got a shot because, you know, he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen, you know, and, you know, so you have a shot with him, but their overall team, you know, I think because some of the injuries early in the year and, you know, not having Rice, you know, hurt them a little bit, they're going to struggle, but hey, they could get a run. Who knows? With Mahomes, anything could happen.
I got to ask you the other one, just because you know him so well. You and Bill Belichick have been friends for a long time. He comes down. You're watching.
You're going to ask me that question.
Even Jimmy just has to break into laughter over.
Hey, I can't imagine. I'd love to see your face with all this stuff when you turn to your wife and you go, I can't believe it. No. Why is he putting himself through this? Oh, boy.
Bill and Jordan came down right before the season and – you know, of course, I had big eyes during that time. I actually don't even want to talk to him during the season. I've texted him a couple of times. They're struggling. You know, they brought in 70 new players.
Yep.
And, you know, and a lot of those players were really not good players. He trusted Mike Lombardi to do the personnel, who is his general manager. And they brought in a lot of players that were just very marginal. And they're going to get better because he's a great football coach. But, he struggled with some of the personnel there his last 2 years at New England. And I think eventually they will be a better football team. But it has been a soap opera here, you know, the last couple of months. Yeah.
It's got something for everyone in the family up there at North Carolina. Hey, Jimmy, have a great Thanksgiving, man. Can't thank you enough for spending some time with us from the Keys before that big walk you're going on. Thank you.
All right. Well, good talking to you guys.
All right, Jimmy.
Take care. Jimmy Johnson, Hall of Fame coach, joining us. Talk a little bit a lot of different things. That documentary is that's funny.
He is him and Jerry. You know, the line he has on Jerry and him, he goes, people try to explain our relationship and no one knows what it's like. And you know why? Because I don't even know what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. That is incredible. All right. Hey, we got to go to break, Dave. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning, a couple of days here before Thanksgiving. And before we get into anything, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Jimmy's a big Corvette guy down there. I know he won't get mad at me. He loves those. Oh, my God. He loves those Corvettes. And I don't blame him, man. They are nice, but I got it.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tell ya.
Jim Larrañaga usually joins us on Wednesdays. He's going to be traveling. Jim Larrañaga, the head coach at the University of Miami for their men's basketball team for many years. And he's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We brought him on a day early, talk a little hoops with him, and there he is. What are you doing travel-wise? You're going to see your son? You're going to L.A. to spend Thanksgiving there?
Yeah, I'm going to L.A. I'm going to cheer on the Clippers and get them rolling. I'm going to bring them some good luck.
I'll bring them some plays. Bring a chalkboard and a piece of chalk and an eraser. And
I would make you my
don't be trashing my Clippers now.
Sorry, you laid it up there for me. Who am I not to bounce it back in if I get the opportunity? We're talking about the Heat. So the Heat are 12-6. They're third in the East. Tyler Hero's back. And I asked Crowder and Solana yesterday, this was before they won yesterday, I asked them yesterday, is it time we start having the conversation about the Heat being one of the better teams in the East, one of the best teams in the East? And now with Tyler back, and as Solana mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, they won a game last night that maybe last year they would have lost, and sometimes that's what makes a good team a great team. So is it too early to start talking about the Heat as being one of the elite teams in the East?
Well, I certainly think they are right now at 12-6 and playing very well. The win last night, when it got tied at 102, I was like, uh-oh. And then you have a player like Tyler Hero in his first game back, goes 12-18, plays a terrific game, makes the game-winning shot. They played like a championship-caliber team. But again, it's November. The season's just getting started. What I loved about last night is they did it without Norman Powell, who's having a career year. And he's playing like one of the top 10 players in the NBA right now. He's scoring the ball so efficiently. So when he and Tyler Hero team up, if they have the great on-court chemistry, that's a huge bonus for Eric Spoelstra and the staff, where they have those two big-time scorers in the same backcourt.
And, Coach, some Solana and me, where we're going after, you know, we argue all day on this show, but he talked about the pace of play, which he's the number one in the league pace of play. But then I looked at the top five pace of play teams. The other four teams are below 500. They're not great teams. Like, what do you take from pace of play? Is that an impressive stat to have your team be the number one pace of play team in the league?
Well, only if you're winning. You know, it's not something that pace of play determines whether you win or not. Pace of play is basically how you're utilizing your personnel. If your personnel is suited to that style, like Spo and his staff think the Heat are, then you utilize that to your advantage. If your team, you know, runs up and down the floor and loses, then it's not so great. Do you remember when Paul Westhead ran the system with the Denver Nuggets 30 years ago and he was scoring 140 points and his opponent was scoring 150? Oh, Crowder, you don't know that? You don't know that story?
No. Yeah, Coach, I think I was 9 years old.
Weren't you paying attention to the NBA back then? Come on.
No, sir.
Well, here's the thing. Paul Westhead won a world championship with the Lakers running the system. He had Magic Johnson pushing the ball, and then Pat Riley took over, and it was Lakers showtime. They now got a TV show called Showtime or something like that about the Lakers' great run in the 80s under Pat Riley. But I think what Spo is doing, his team is suited for that style. He feels very comfortable pushing the ball and scoring before the opponent's defense gets set. Every coach will tell you it's harder to score when the opponent has five defenders back and you have to try to score against a set defense, then if you're in the open court and it's 2-on-1, 3-on-2, 4-on-3, 5-on-4, once you have the advantage, you want to take advantage of it. If you don't have the advantage and it's 5-on-5, that's a different story. And a lot of those teams that are playing fast that are not as successful as the Heat, it's because their players are just not as good at it right now. That can change over a period of time. Because as I said, it's early in the season. It's still November.
Coach, what about a player like Khalil Ware? We've talked about him already this season. Over his last three games, 20 points in all three games, 20 and 14 rebounds, 20 and 16 rebounds, 20 and 18 rebounds. When do you know that a player who obviously has a ton of talent, when do you know that he's no longer taking a leap to where you can expect that sometimes, but then he'll regress in other games, too. He's emerged. He's arrived. He's officially taken that leap to big-time player.
Yeah, Solana, here's my thought about that. He was in the starting lineup. Was he in the start lineup all three games?
Yes.
So maybe the excitement of moving into the starting lineup and thinking, like, I got to earn that spot and keep it for the rest of the year. And he's playing with Bam. So, you know, we're trying to figure out if that combination is going to actually work in the long run. Obviously, winning a close game like last night is a tremendous sign. But if he starts to be too happy with himself and his production slips, then the question comes in, should we move him back to the bench and make him earn that playing time a second time? Hopefully, Khalil is getting old enough, experienced enough, confident enough, and is competitive enough to make that starting role his and only his for the rest of the season.
So I just want to see if I have this correct, Coach Larrañaga. If your team, if you were coaching the Heat and you're 12-6 and your style of play is working perfectly the way that you thought, and obviously you're hoping, like you said, that Norman Powell and Tyler Hero will coexist as, you know, superstars can. you wouldn't have a moment in your office by yourself saying, hey, man, I know it's only November. I think I got something here. Or you would literally be, hey, early, I'm not thinking success yet. I got it. And I understand you got a long season to play. But you wouldn't start having those thoughts of everything I thought that this team was going to be during the offseason as we prepared for the season. Everything I thought is coming true. I think I got it.
Hawk, you're amazing. You want coaches to look into their crystal ball and figure out the way they're going to be playing in April, May, and June. Now, coaches tend to look at it one day at a time, one game at a time.
No, but do they really do it is my question.
Well, you obviously feel better after wins when you're on a little bit of a winning streak. You feel good that you're doing the right thing, because if you lost three in a row, you'd be saying to yourself, what adjustments do we have to make? Do we have to consider slowing things down? Or do we have to consider changing the lineup, changing our defense, whatever your thoughts are? But it's really in the present. You don't want to get too far ahead of you, and you don't want to look back too far. You want to really examine what is going on, what's working for you, and what's not working for you so well.
And but even, what's the OKC head coach's name? Like, he has to be comfortable right now, coach. He's by far has the best
one
team.
Loss.
Yeah, they have one loss, coach. They just won a championship. Like, he can't be panicking on a Tuesday before a game. He's the best team in the world.
Those young teams, they still have a lot of energy. You know, the older teams, those guys have to motivate themselves. They've been playing for 10, 12 years. A little bit more difficult to keep yourself ready game after game. These young teams, like, look what the Pistons are doing. Mm-hmm. They're young and enthusiastic, and I'm starting to see. You know, I'm big on Instagram, and they're starting to show offensive clips of the Detroit Pistons, clips of plays that they're running to get Cade Cunningham going. How about the kid who no one drafted? What the heck's his name? Who's now in the start lineup for the Pistons? You guys know who I'm talking about?
You talking about Duncan Robinson?
No. This kid was undrafted. He was not.
Durin?
What is it?
Jalen Durin?
No, Jalen Durin was a lottery pick. Come on.
Isaiah Stewart. Guys, I mean,
at least I got Duncan. He wasn't drafted. At least I got half the question right.
No, this guy's name is Jenkins. Dennis Jenkins. He wasn't drafted.
Oh, DJ.
And he's now starting and averaging like 17-9. For the Pistons, he wasn't even drafted. They have found a diamond in the rough. They've inserted him, given him more and more playing time. Initially, he was coming in off the bench. Now he's starting, and he's doing a fantastic job. You know, with teams, you always are looking for those players who step up to fill a role, much like Duncan Robinson did for the Heat. You know, those guys who – come in off the bench and light it up for you. This guy has done it. Now they've moved him into the starting lineup. And I'm looking at his stats right now. He's killing it. He's shooting 51% from the field, 46% from three, and having a heck of a year.
I may have to start betting some over-unders on him. Maybe Vegas hasn't caught up to Coach L on this one. let me ask you a question before we run out of time here, because Thanksgiving's coming up on Thursday. The Hurricanes play BYU. I think they're ranked ninth in the country on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. It's some invitational. And so it's a 5 p.m. Thanksgiving Day start. Did you like playing in those holiday tournaments, or was that more of just, hey, it's a casualty of the business? Like, did you look forward to a Thanksgiving tournament where, you know, you can't do a traditional Thanksgiving with your family, or did you love that part of it?
Well, first of all, I'm very excited to see our Miami Hurricanes team go up against BYU. I think that'll be a fabulous game. And again, another way for Jay Lucas and his staff to evaluate their team. As far as my experience, I loved it when we won. I hated it when we lost. That was very, very simple. We played some great games, some great teams during the holidays, and a lot of them were ESPN events. I like those ESPN events. They were all on TV. Families could plan well in advance to come. So Thanksgiving weekend became a, you know, if you were at home, we'd have Thanksgiving dinner as a team, and then the players would actually go with their families who had arrived in town. When we were on the road, they celebrated with their families. It's these games this weekend are going to be phenomenal. You got so many great college matchups. I'm looking forward to it.
What's the what's your favorite Thanksgiving meal? Like, what's the portion of it that you look forward to the most? We were talking on the air yesterday, really. We're not doing traditional Thanksgiving meals, I don't think any of us on the show, other than Jimmy, although they're doing more than just turkey. Are you standard turkey, stuffing, sweet potatoes, and what's your favorite?
My favorite is when my wife is cooking Thanksgiving dinner. I eat a little bit of the turkey meat, but her stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy are to die for. That's all I want to eat. Second, third helpings of the stuffing and the mashed potatoes. The gravy is awesome. The turkey's just okay, but we won't be doing that this Thursday. We'll be in L.A., and my son and his wife will be preparing the dinner meal.
Hey, Coach, what does your wife put in her stuffing? Because it's just soggy bread to me at my house. Is there something more in that stuffing?
I got no idea, but Crowder, if you were at my house, you'd be at the dinner table for hours eating it. This stuff is so good. It's unbelievable.
Have you suggested to your son, Jay, just bring it in an out burger on Thanksgiving as long as you're out in L.A.?
No. They've got a big dinner planned. I'm just glad that I don't have to fix anything. I'm not a cook. I just eat the meal that whatever's served to me, and I'm not a big eater. I've told you guys before, I wish I didn't have to eat, that I could just sustain life without eating. That would be right in my wheelhouse.
He doesn't like to eat. He does not like to eat. He's very fit. What did you eat today?
I had a yogurt for breakfast, and I had soup for lunch. And wow. I had butterscotch soup. It was awful.
Huh. I mean, Jimmy there, he lives on Costco
butternuts,
hot dogs.
My wife says butternut squash.
I had a feeling it was butternut squash soup. It was terrible. Did she make it?
What?
Did she make it?
She made it at Publix.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't her recipe.
Bought it off the shelf.
So just a cup of hot soup for lunch, huh?
Yeah, that
no
was
bread?
It.
No bread? Yeah. To dip the bread into the soup?
No, I did have some saltine crackers, but not many. I eat more junk. I like ice cream and cookies and candy.
I had avocado toast today. That's all I've had. Avocado toast and a cappuccino. Gosh. You never had avocado toast?
No, I don't eat avocado.
Oh, Coach, I got to get you up to Boca. You and I, we're going to go to Italiano. It's a little market right downstairs. We're going to have an avocado toast and a cappuccino, and we're going to talk about Josh Giddey and Montas Buzelis.
Josh Giddey's playing very well.
Very well. Very well. Hit the over last night, 20 and a half. All right, we love you, Coach. safe travels to L.A.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. It is a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and we have a treat for you on this wonderful Wednesday.
What's that?
We have a comedic legend, someone with over 25 years in the game, longer actually, but my math is off, so I'm not even gonna try. But I want to introduce you guys to a man that's pause. Let me just go ahead and say pause before this. Holds a special place in my heart because I grew up watching Mad TV and a movie I'm going to ask him about that he starred in. It's one of the first movies I remember watching with my friends. Let's go ahead and head on over to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Toyotaofhollywood.com. Aries Spears be at the Fort Lauderdale Improv this weekend. A lot of opportunities to catch them. You got two shows on the 28th, three shows on the 29th, which is rare. You got to be a legend to be able to pull off three shows on a Saturday night and two shows on a Sunday. So make sure you come check us out. Mr. Spears, thank you for joining us, sir.
Yo, what's good? What's good?
Now, I want to start things off with a movie that is a cult classic and something that I remember watching. It's probably one of the earliest works that I remember seeing you in, and that was actually shot in
it's
our city.
The Pest?
The Pest, baby. That one, listen, John Leguizamo, you... I don't know. I was maybe about 7 years old watching that movie. I probably should have been watching that movie at 7 years old, but it seemed like the perfect thing for me at the time, and it's something that I hold dearly, as well as your time on Mad TV. But as far as The Pest, what do you remember about making that movie in Miami? How much has Miami changed since then? I know you're frequently here. Do you have any memories from that time?
That was a good time. You know, that was me, John Leguizamo, and Freddie Rodriguez. And I did that. That was actually one of my first times in Miami. I think that had only been my second time in Miami. But now I frequent there at least once a year. And, you know, Miami's one of the hot spots.
Yeah, look, it's I see you if you're not at the club in Doral, you're at the club in Fort Lauderdale for sure. I know you've been doing comedy for quite some time, if my research was right. You've been doing this, what, since 1992?
About 36 years, brother.
36 years. That's, you know, to be able to do anything for that long obviously takes a lot of longevity. Do you think, other than the fact that I feel obviously audiences have gotten more sensitive, how has comedy changed since you started?
Well, you know, you just said it. I mean, because of the political climate. And, you know, everybody's more conscious of being politically correct and woke and, you know, all of that. But, you know, that's never been me. My comedic cocaine is uncut.
Absolutely. Listen, and if you go to a comedy show and it's one of those in which, you know, you're scared to sit up front because you don't want the comedian to say anything about you, that is an Aries Spears show. Listen, don't come up here with no garbage-ass outfit in the front row or trying to be, you know, one of those people in the audience that thinks that they're louder than the comedian. Aries Spears is definitely one who's going to check you. But I know you go beyond comedy as well. I know you spent some time doing the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Wow, which, that's ancient. That ain't even around no more.
I know, man. But again, it was one of the staples of my watching at that time. I know you were on there with John Sally. But I want to ask you about Michael Irvin, because as you know, big Miami Hurricanes guy. And we
Always sweating,
always on the sideline doing something crazy. What was it like working with Michael Irvin?
Michael is one of the most genuine, coolest cats I've ever met in my life. He's so lovable and likable. And a lot of times, most of the fun we had was the pre-production meeting, actually before the taping. That's when everybody would just let loose, him, John Kruk, Charlie Rhodes, and it was just Tom Arnold, and it was a fantastic time. Mike's my guy.
Now, look, I want to talk about a story that you probably told a million times, but can you tell me about the Mike Tyson incident?
Oh, yeah, you know, there was this big buildup prior to my last couple weeks on the show, when they finally had Mike Tyson, and I basically begged them to have let me come on and close that show out because I'm such a huge Mike Tyson fan. So long story short, Mike came to the show. Mike Irvin kept egging me on to do an impression, which, of course, I didn't want to do because this was Mike Tyson and his I'll Eat Your Kids years. But I went ahead and did it. And, you know, Mike really didn't laugh, and he kind of, like, gave me a look. So, you know, I always tell people I peed alone.
Yeah, I can imagine, man.
Aries, I always wondered this question because comedians, when you go in front of a stage, you don't get a whole bunch of takes. You know, that's a one-time thing. You ain't got to redo it. You don't get a chance. When you get into acting and they have several takes of the same thing, do you find that an easier transition than doing stand-up, which is live?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it still presents its own challenges, but like you just said, you get multiple takes. Plus, you're working off of people, whereas with stand-up, it's a solo sport. And right. Whatever happens in the moment, happens in the moment.
Now, last year you went viral for your take on the D. Wade statue. A year has gone by. Have you had a chance to see it in person?
I wouldn't want to see it in person.
Okay. There's not
it's scary enough on TV.
It's not one good thing you can say about it. Wait, after a year.
Aries, when they say it has angles, that pretty much confirms your theory, right?
Oh, no.
I mean, look, man, that face is crazy.
Look, the statue has a good personality, Aries. I promise. It has a good personality.
Well, the fact that he sit there and tried to act like he wasn't bothered by it was the greatest acting job I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I've seen it, and it's not great. It's not great. I understand it's trying to capture a moment. Belongs to a short. It's not great. Now, I know where you stand in regards to the GOAT debate when it comes to the NBA, but if I had to give you a bench start cut situation between Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Magic Johnson, who would you bench, start, and cut of those three?
Oh, that's easy. Mike's starting. LeBron is being benched. Magic's being benched. LeBron's being cut.
Cut. So you don't buy into the era of greatness that LeBron James apparently has bestowed upon us with his longevity. You're not buying it. You think it's all inflated.
No. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. But as far as longevity, I mean, he's been in the league since his mother's first trimester. So what you think is going to happen? Yes. You're going to break the records.
Yeah. But isn't that something within itself?
And listen, I would have to see the I want to see the point guard, two guard combination between Michael and Magic.
Yeah, you know, that's something that the Dream Team, that was probably the only opportunity we had to see it. Do you have any picks this year in regards to NBA that you think clear cut, this team is better than every other team, they're taking it all this year?
And you know what? I don't really have a dog in the fight, but if OKC stays strong and connected, I don't see why they wouldn't repeat.
They're so young, too, man. That's the crazy thing about them. They ain't got a whole bunch of veterans. They young.
Yeah, and they got picks, too. They definitely got a lot of picks.
Yeah.
Aries Spears again joining us. He will be at the Fort Lauderdale Improv. Two shows Friday, three shows on Saturday, and two shows on Sunday again. Make sure you join us. Make sure you go and see a true artist perfecting his craft on stage. And what I've noticed about Aries,
do you have those times?
Yes, I do. Friday, we have those two shows that I just mentioned. That'll be at 7:30 and 10 o'clock. On Saturday, you got three opportunities, although one of them is sold out. First show sold out already. Saturdays are hot days, so make sure you get to those tickets. The 7 p.m. show is sold out on Saturday the 29th, but 9:30 p.m. and 11:59 p.m. Trust me, I've been working at the Improv since it opened. Not a lot of comedians can pull off adding a third show on Saturday. Usually they got to take away a show. And he added another one on Sunday for you as well, 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Everyone has their pregame rituals. And if you're a fan of Aries Spears, he's not one of those guys who is hiding in the back or shows up 30 seconds before he's supposed to go on stage. Aries likes to walk in, and tell me if I'm lying, walk in and
that's accurate.
Observe the area, sit in the back, sit on the side, look at the audience, kind of analyze. It's like he's watching game film before he goes on stage. Is that the purpose, or are you kind of just trying to relax and mellow your mood, kind of?
Nah, that pretty much nails it. It's almost like, you know, you get ready to do a bank heist. You know, you got to go in before and look at the look at the blueprints and the lay of the land. You got to look at the schematics.
Wow.
You know how you gonna rob the joint.
It is the small things that separates the good from the great. And I want to thank you for taking the time, Aries Spears. Anything on the way out that you want to plug?
No, just come down to the show. Like you said, you gave out the times. We got the two added shows, the midnight show on Saturday and then the second show on Sunday. And, come on out, man. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be an absolute blast. Be sure you get those tickets. Again, I want to thank you for joining us. Catch Aries Spears live at the Fort Lauderdale Improv. You got two shows on the 28th, three shows on the 29th, and two shows on the 30th. Head to improvftl.com/calendar to get your tickets today. Thank you, Mr. Spears.
You got it, brother.
That was Ari Spears joining us. We are going to take a quick commercial break. And you know what? We've done a lot of interviews. We've talked a lot of sports. Let's get into some silly sauce, shall we? When we come back, what the kids say on Tobin and Leroy.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.